Hi everyone, welcome to The Art of Unbecoming. Today we have on Aisha Ophelia. She is a rising voice in the spiritual wellness and transformational world. Her passion is women, plants, and human potential. She is the creator of a thriving community called The Girlfriend Manifesto, where she serves women a daily dose of inspiration, spirituality, adventure, self-love, and sisterhood.
Thank you so much for being on, Aisha. I'm so excited to talk to you and just have this conversation. And it's 11:11 here.
Oh, nice. We started at the perfect time. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
So I think we found each other maybe, well, I've been following you for probably like 2 years now, I think. And then I think we really connected a few months ago because I wrote a post on just boundaries or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we have just sort of blossomed into this little internet relationship where we've really shared a lot of controversial opinions with one another. Mm-hmm. And it's meant a lot to me. And I think we were just talking about cancel culture. And I knew that that was one of the things that I wanted to speak with you about today. I would love to just sort of get your opinions on cancel culture in general and how you feel people are respond, or how you feel and see people interacting with this world, and what you just feel your, I guess, what you feel your opinions are about it.
Well, I mean, it's a big question to start off with. And what I was kind of thinking while you were talking about it is the perspective that I'm coming from is, how can we basically expand consciousness? How can we move out of the space that we're in into something new? And if we remain sort of at each other's throats, you do something, I say something, if it's this sort of like tit for tat back and forth, what we're seeing happen all the time now, then we don't really move forward. And for me, that's always been a problem for me. Like my title, actually, when you're reading my bio, I'm like, I really need to update that, because that's like the tame version of what I do, you know, because now on my heading, it says spiritual provocateur. And I was writing what that meant because someone else was asking me about it. And it's someone who provokes a deeper inner calling, like a personal inner calling, one for the culture, you know, and that's what I feel like I'm here to do. And so, you know, over the last few years, and we've really seen this come to sort of a head, it's just made me feel like it's a symptom of a society that is wound really tight, has no connection with nature, has forgotten who they really are, and we're at each other's throats, you know? And so just to see it all play out, it's been interesting to witness. It's been interesting to, you know, I've made comments on people's posts before I sort of checked myself and understood what needed to happen. And so it's all out there. It's all within us. It's all things that we need to be considering. Like, you know, do we cancel ourselves immediately instead of having compassion? Like, if we look at it from the inner lens, then we can see how it could manifest on the outward. And I feel like if we just sort of, you know, people think this is Pollyanna and they don't like to hear it, but you know, it's like, when did, what do they say when you get on an airplane? Well, besides put your mask on now, is, put, you know, like if you get the oxygen mask first, like the way that we take care of ourselves is going to be the way that we move throughout the world. And that has such a big impact. So.
I love that. And I love that you brought up like kind of the idea of projection, where I think a lot of what's happening is projection and people not being able to accept the shadow or darkness within themselves. And so when they witness it in another person, they immediately have to cancel it or get rid of it.
Yeah.
I wondered, like, did you grow up in religion at all by chance?
Yeah, I did, actually. I mean, I grew up in the Bible Belt in the South. I'm actually back here after traveling for many years. But yeah, there was a big dogma that I grew up with, and there was sort of a ceiling of possibility. And we were just asked to sort of exist within, you know, this template.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the same for me growing up in the Midwest. And like, I think that I feel that there's still a lot of remnants of that, you know, where even if people aren't consciously identifying with religion, it's like we just have no tolerance for any what religious people would call sin. Mm-hmm. You know, we have no tolerance for anything that we think is different, or maybe we think is wrong or something like that. It's like we are almost unconsciously trying to create this like homogenous monolith of a species without even realizing it.
Exactly. And
I think like, do you feel that? I mean, I think I know how you feel. I feel like a lot of this is very cult-like behavior. And the one thing about a cult is when you're inside of one, you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's the cult of fame. There's so many different hypnotic things that can put us under a spell where we forget that we have a will, where we forget that we came to think uniquely, you know, where we sort of forget ourselves. Like anything could be a cult. And if we're giving our power over, then that's what it becomes. So 100%.
Yeah, absolutely too. And like, I feel that these systems that we're sort of seeing crumble right before our eyes kind of have given us the illusion that we don't have power. And I think that's where so many people are kind of feeling helpless, is they think that these systems or politicians or whoever is more powerful, and we're just in this like basically peasant like situation or position where these people basically can control and just have all the power and we have none of it.
Exactly. Yeah, we've all been indoctrinated from probably the time that we came out of the womb till you know, we get various wake-up calls in life, and then we hopefully start to see things different and mm-hmm. react to our environment different. But many of us are kind of caught in that cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you feel like your biggest wake-up call was, or how did you like start on this spiritual path?
Yeah, I mean, I think heartbreak was a window for me. It seems like it's all been pretty big things, you know, like I left a marriage, my mom died, she, you know, and sort of the way that she died too was very, it informed me that the path she was on and the things that she was relying on and the people's advice she was taking would not be something that would work for me going forward. And it really, really put me on my path of like natural healing, even further into spirituality, because I started to have a relationship with my dead mother, which some people will understand. Some people will question if it can even really be real. So, you know, a lot of these sort of horrible things, these moments where we have our old reality has to die for whatever reason, brought about all this new life within me and really helped me. It just cemented me on my path and helped me to see things for what I believe they are. You know, it seems like we're all sort of living in a different reality about what's happening. And there's many of us who are questioning and there's many of us who aren't. And so, yeah.
Do you feel like when you were in that space of sort of this reality that you previously had crumbling, was it met with a lot of resistance?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm stubborn. Like, yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I dug my heels in, and I think that is something that I have to bring a lot of compassion to, because for better or for worse, you know, it's like you live and die by your sword, you know, and I have to even trust that when I was digging in, there was a reason for that, you know? And so I do think it's become easier to trust the mystery as I've sort of dedicated my life to leading people through death rituals and really being the person in my family to talk about death, because it's not like it seems like it's going to sneak up on you, but it's something that we've known our whole lives basically about this force of death and what it may be and what it may be here to do or teach us or whatever. And, you know, Scorpios love to unearth the stuff that nobody wants to talk about, you know, sex and money and power, and especially doing that now, I think it's so important, because these are all areas where a shadow can just easily take over.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you said that, I thought of the James Baldwin quote. I'm sorry, I don't know why my throat. It's funny because I think I get nervous when I do podcasts.
It's all right. It's
groggy I'm still sometimes. New with it. It's funny. Yeah, like my voice is now all like groggy. We're just going to work through it. I think same as the role of the lover. I have to make you unconscious of things that you don't see. Like, I love
that quote. Me too.
So much. I wanted to go back to your bio as a spiritual provocateur. Mm-hmm. And I remember on your story, I think it was maybe last week or something like that, you were asking people what their most controversial opinion is.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable, I would now love to ask you to share. You don't have to obviously share your most controversial, but just something that you feel like would maybe just change the way people see reality.
Yeah. And I think maybe you may think I may go in one direction. We could definitely go down the rabbit hole of all of the corruption and lies and mm-hmm. potential, you know, alien mm-hmm. forces that have, you know, absconded humanity. But also, I think the thing that is the most controversial is just that we were born of love, we were returned to love, and this whole experience hasn't ever deviated from that. And I mm-hmm. think that's something that is, it may seem a little, I don't know how people are going to perceive that, but I feel like that's my deepest truth. And that's what even gives me the ability to stand up and talk about the truthful, you know, part of my spiritual awakening was it's not all just roses. There are dark forces. There are things that unfortunately are happening here. There is a long history that's been suppressed from us. And the only reason that I can stand in that and not turn into, you know, a person who wants to kill everybody or, you know, is because I have this foundational peace with what I believe to be the true reality of where, what this is and what we're doing. You know, I think of this more as like a schoolroom. We can't get it wrong. We're going to continue to evolve the species. There are other intelligences that are invested in life here on Earth, and we're not alone, like, period. So, you know, but there's all kinds of other controversial things that I think one day, I just feel like a lot of people are going to need to apologize to us, Emma. I just think that's going to be a thing because it's all going to get blown out. And if they decide not to wake up, it'll be so willful that they'll just hang their heads in shame. I mean, okay, let me just stop. But yeah, it's like, it's.
Well, I'm going to have to go to everybody's door and demand that they take accountability. So, and I'm going to demand an apology.
You won't even need to do that, though. It's just by sheer force of being willing to, you know, that post, it really, it illuminated something in my life and it helped me to let go of another piece of like needing to. I got a really big reaction from someone who was a friend and an amazing spiritual teacher, actually, and I still believe is, but, you know, I was called Hitler or like that I was spread, you know, like, and I was like, wow, that conclusion has not a lot to do with me.
Wow.
And, I just felt so empowered that the next day I went and like took my dangerous woman mugshots. I was like, yes, it is dangerous. Actually, it is dangerous to be willing to share diverse opinions, you know, like that's ultimately that's all I was doing. I didn't say I didn't co-sign any of them. You know, I just said, this is what people are talking about. And actually, you know, it was overwhelmingly positive responses. It was just that one happened to be, and actually for the most part, my experience with like being canceled has been more by people who have been in my inner circle. And it feels like actually the world, quote unquote, social media has really like rallied. And I'm like, whoa, that's, that feels interesting.
That is super interesting. I've definitely experienced the complete opposite. Which is funny because just my relationship with social media, we were just talking about it, is just so up and down and kind of all over the place. And it's hard because I even forget that, oh, there are human beings behind these accounts. You know,
yeah.
I think it's so easy to forget that. And it almost like kind of subconsciously dehumanizes one another in a way, you know? And I think that's something to be really mindful of and to remember and to make sure that we're like, oh, there's another beating heart behind this DM that I'm coming into screaming and yelling and demanding something, you
exactly
know?
Exactly. And we need to be more willing to sort of take responsibility for what's coming up in us, otherwise mm-hmm. we're again just handing our power over. Like, that person handed their power over to me, and mm-hmm. these people are handing their power over to you, instead of saying, like, you know, this is coming up in me, you know, let me at least take a beat. And you mm. may not even want to come back, or you may not even want to come back with the same sort of spirit, or mm-hmm. you may just have handled it for yourself. Like,
mm-hmm. I've been really on that wave lately within myself, and it's been extremely transformational for me. I'm working with a mentor right now who identifies as an ontologist. And he, which I don't know if you've heard of it, but ontology is basically just like the study of being. And he helps people heal, but he doesn't go back like psychologists do, or like trauma healers would do. He doesn't mm-hmm. really go back into your past at all. He focuses on who you're being in the present mm. to create your future now, kind of like Joe Dispenza.
Nice. But well, something magic happens when that you do that work anyway, is that mm-hmm. it goes back into the DNA and sort of clears it up. It's like not having to do as much. It's smart, you know? It's like how mm-hmm. it's the future actually is just energy medicine. It's not like 5G or whatever they're trying to sell us on, but it's this energetic beingness, mm-hmm. like you said, who we're being in the moment. It's mm-hmm. obviously related to the past, but do we have to go digging around in the past, or can we address it right here and now?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I wanted to go back really quick before I lose it on something that you said, just about like kind of this idea of love being controversial. I love that you brought that up. I was talking to one of my friends, Brendan. I think you follow him too, Inner Light Warrior.
Nice.
I think maybe about a month ago, and we were talking just about the current events and stuff like that. And he was saying that, he was like, Emma, I just live my life based on the idea that everything is perfect and in divine harmony all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, people come at me and they're like, Brendan, how could you say that when there's rape and there's blah, 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 and there's all of these horrible things happening? And he didn't really give me an answer, which I appreciate, because it's really left me to sit with that question with myself. And really quick, like, I've been studying hermeticism, and one of the laws of the universe is obviously the law of polarity. And mm-hmm. it talks about how there are, like, for example, hot and cold are not opposites. They're actually just different experiences and different degrees of the same thing. And so I've been kind of like processed, because I've been asking myself that question a lot, like, well, if everything really does return back to love, how do you explain like genocide? How do you explain poverty? How do you explain all of these traumatic things that are happening to people? And I don't really have an answer yet, but I would love to kind of explore that with you. How, if that is truly what you believe, which I know that it is, how do you sort of reckon with that, with the quote unquote bad things that
yeah.
happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for me, my belief system also includes that we've been in many forms. We've been on all sides of experiences, which means we've been the persecutor, we've been the victim, we've been Black, we've been white, we've been female, we've been other, we've been everything. And that sort of our soul and our incarnation is an amalgamation. It's a boiling down of all those experiences. And if this is something bigger than we can taste, touch, see, and feel and understand with our base senses, you know, some things will quote unquote never be known in this reality. And there is a trust that has to happen. But to me, it's like, I'm not worrying about taking a breath right now. There is something that is seeing me through this next moment and this next one and this next one. And although we may experience something called death, how do we know that it's not even a return to something bigger and more? And, you know, all the experiences that I've had in my life with plant medicine and with death and with going into these other brain waves and discovering other things has shown me there's way more that meets the eye. There's way more than the TV shows are showing us. And actually, if anything, they're showing us our true reality with all these like superheroes, you know, past life, you know, like, where does this art come from? Where is it inspired by? Have people actually experienced it? So you know, it takes a lot of courage to have an opinion that differs from war, because this is what we're sold all day long. And so if you decide to live your life in a peaceful way, people are going to come at you from every angle. They're going to be like, they're going to come at you because your race is this certain race and you should be feeling like this because the majority of people are. They're going to come at you because you're a woman and you've got to be thinking like this or using this terminology. And people are going to tell you who you are all day long. Sorry, this is kind of deviated, but you kind of just have to decide and live in that way. And so because of the experiences I've had, because of where I've gone and how I see things, that, you know, I can't tell you for sure that you shouldn't, that you should believe a certain way. But what gives me peace about all the dissonance that's happening is that, you know, we live in a reality to where more meets the eye than we think. And there's so much beyond our sort of that level of understanding and that level of seeking to have an answer like that is, it doesn't leave room for much more.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. And I feel like there's also this indoctrination of us having to like be certain about things and having to have all of the answers. And that kind of like made me think of how there's this narrative now that if you're not an expert on something, then you're not allowed to speak on it. And how often are we like taught, oh my God, I saw this freaking meme that had me dying. It said like, it was like, basically somebody was saying it's raining today. And then somebody else was like, how do you know? Are you a meteorologist?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and that's the thing is like the experience of being alive, we've basically, okay, so here's an example. Like my mom was sick for a long time. She was like in the system. And if she would go and tell them that something was happening in her body, they would tell her, they would either tell her no, or they would come up with some other reason that it could be this. And so I feel like so often the experiences that we are having are invalidated by someone else making up their mind for us about something. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just another way that we've given our power over. And the experience that we're having has little to no sway, you know, with the current reality. So, you know, we have to abandon our intuition. We have to abandon how we're feeling, and we have to give our power and our autonomy over to other people so often that it's just a way of life. We're just we're just used to it. It's like the shoe that doesn't quite fit, but we're just used to it not fitting, or the devil that we know, or whatever, you know, which, you know, points back to our fear of death. And if we reckoned with that, we wouldn't be an enslaved species. We wouldn't give our power over. We wouldn't, you know, whatever people think is the normal now, it's like, look back at what was happening. That wasn't working either, you know? And many of us felt that all along.
Absolutely. And we've just been taught not to even trust or question those feelings, because who the fuck are we to know what's best for our bodies or what's best for our children or whatever? We have to completely outsource that to experts.
Yep.
And it's just really, really delusional. And that reminds me, my mom too was like severely harmed by the medical system and was on a lot of psych meds and would go in and be like, I think these psych meds are making me crazy. And then the psychiatrist would be like, Allie, that's just your bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
And 5 years later, and my mom doesn't have any sign of any disorder.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's really wild. And I feel like, because I think about too, like, kind of how did I wake up and why do I feel like I see things that maybe not other people see? And it's like, when you have experiences like that in your life, you have the contrast of being so immersed in a system and then also have the contrast of being completely out of it and feeling free. You can't not live your life in a way where you're questioning things.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah, which is super interesting. I would love you mentioned something a few minutes ago, just about like how people will come at you and tell you that you should feel some type of way because you're a certain race or you're a woman or yada, yada, yada. And I would love to just like ask you as you're with your experience, like as a Black woman with sort of the narrative that's happening within the Black community of
feeling of being oppressed. I would love for you to, if you want to expand sort of on that and how your experience with like the whole BLM thing and just all of that.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with something that is a story that occurred to me that really shifted my thinking. And like I said, I grew up in the sort of, I guess I'll just call it the rural South, you know, and there wasn't a lot of people that looked like me. And I remember being a young girl and already realizing that people were treating me differently. There was some, you know, there was like a point where I became aware enough to know that like, okay, I'm different and that's not a good thing. You know, I don't think anyone, yes, later on, people definitely did slurs and did all the things. And by that time I was, you know, used to it or I understood that certain people believe this way. But I remember like my mom, I think I was in like third grade or something like that. And I was just like wanting to stay home a lot. And she didn't press too much, but she would like let me stay home. And I remember I stayed home this one day and I watched some like, I think it was like Oprah, where she had on like some Ku Klux Klan people. And I just remember my young little heart like broke. I just could not understand what was going on. But I feel like around that time, I made this conscious decision. And this, you know, obviously I've dealt with it my whole life, but I was like, I can either let what these people think of me make me less of me, or I can just navigate what it's like to be a Black woman in the South. You know, my parents were always super well-spoken. So when people heard me speak, they were like, you're talking white, or like, who do you think you are? Or, you know, on the other end, wow, you're so smart. You're so articulate. Like, you know, so I feel like all my life I've sort of been in the position to be able to break a lot of barriers with people by just being myself. And so that's just what I kind of decided that I was going to do. You know, like if I like this music, it works for me. I'm going to listen to it. I grew up with a lot of openness, actually. And I was talking to my grandmother about this and she was like, and then we'll get to sort of how it's currently playing out.
Yeah, but I was absolutely.
Talking to my grandmother about this and sort of asking her questions, just kind of like wanting to have her stories be part of mine. And she was like, yeah, you know, she grew up a sharecropper. She worked for all kinds of people. And she was like, my dad always told me that there's, you know, quote unquote, good people in all races and quote unquote, bad people. You know, obviously that language is even a little bit antiquated for me, but I totally got like, I never felt like it within my family. We were just always open to other people living life in the way that they felt was right for them, you know, and it's not about these sort of caricatures that we've tried to make race into race. And, you know, as we've become like more gender fluid, I often ask people, well, can you be racially fluid and racially ambiguous? And people do not like that. They do not like it for whatever reason. And I just think it's so interesting in a day and age where we're accepting that there is fluidity within everything, you know, maybe some of the ideas that we've had about race can be fluid as well. Yeah. So I just, I think all of these sort of memes about Blackness or, you know, affirmations that we say, you know, the Black woman is the most hated, you know, it's like, I'm not going to repeat these things. I'm not going to teach myself that that's true. Even if a lot of people are operating under this hypnotic spell or this illusion, like that's not right for me. And I remember when I started speaking up about it, cause I was like, I just don't think I believe in privilege. And I kind of don't want to be around people who feel like they have more privilege than me and they need to feel bad for me. And like, I could feel that energy, you know, and I could feel people who were willing to question it, even if it made them sort of enemy of the state, because there's a lot of accepted things like, you know, you just got to go along with it. If you're white, you got to be guilty right now. If you're a man, you're an asshole. If you're a Black person or an Asian person, people are coming at you. And I just don't fucking buy it, you know, and it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me as I know myself as a conscious creator. It doesn't work for me as I understand, you know, energetics and how what we focus on expands. It doesn't work for me because all of these movements are absconded by the government, you know, it doesn't work for me on almost every level. So I've had to like figure out how to work around it. And, you know, I think it's ultimately just made me more creative. You know, it's like, that the creative tension of not buying into it can really create like a super bloom within who you are if you let it.
I love that. Wow. I had I posted a video last night that was talking about just kind of triggers and all of these all of this language that we're using now as it pertains to like being offended and things like that. And somebody commented on it and said that, I'm going to butcher it, but it was basically just like marginalized people. Oh yeah. 'Cause I mentioned something about, we don't need to, we're creating a culture of having to walk on eggshells. And somebody commented that, well, marginalized people have to walk on eggshells just to survive. And I was like, and this person was white. And I was like, it's so fascinating to me how white people, you're literally unconsciously putting yourself in the place of like, I know better.
Exactly.
And I'm speaking for the Black experience. It's so disempowering, in my opinion, to the Black community, because I was like, how come I know over a handful of Black people who do not agree with that they have to live their life walking on eggshells?
Also, listen to this. Someone posted something and it was like this dude went around and he was basically asking, are voter ID laws racist? And it's, you know, and, you know, he's interviewing all white people. And he's like, yeah, because a lot of Black people in certain places don't have a way to get to the polling station. And a lot of, you know, they don't have ID, just like all the stuff the news is telling you about this. And then he goes to like Harlem and he's like talking to Black people. And he's like, do you know any Black people without IDs? No. Do you know any Black people without access to the internet? No. Do you know what I mean? It's like, stop it's watching so the news and thinking it's real. It's literally there to push an agenda. And even if a small percentage of people believe in it, they can make it seem like it's everybody. But my God, we've got to wake up and know that that's not that, you know, when this whole thing happened with the pandemic, I was like, there's no need to be afraid, you know? And I didn't really ever take on fear about it. It felt like I should, and that I questioned. But like I told my dad, I was like, if this comes and affects our family, we'll deal with it then. But there's no reason to cower in fear in our houses about something that this giant conglomerate has told me. And I already had a major distrust, and I was already sort of extricating myself from that system more and more. So when this happened, it was like, I don't know. It actually had the reverse. I've had the reverse experience in my life. I've had a real blooming of like who I am. My career feels like it's kind of locking into place. It was almost like, you know, I was in such a frenzy because I was going against the grain and I wasn't sure if it felt right. And then when the world paused and we all had a minute to look at what was happening, I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely headed in the right direction. And, you know, it just freed up so much energy that had been spun out. And like, I'm doing things different. I think different, you know, is this going to work? And just quit all that and really forged a new path for myself. And
Wow. I totally resonate with that. It's funny because I've always wanted to just be an artist and be someone who can just have a career where I'm traveling and I'm my own boss and yada, yada, yada. And I'm still working towards making that a final like reality where I'm actually making a very significant income for myself. But it's funny because every time I've tried to enter the corporate world and tried to quote unquote do the thing that I'm supposed to do, because that's what people tell me I'm supposed to do, the universe has been like, no, bitch, we're not doing that. I applied for an insurance job because right before COVID, and I got it because my thought process was like, okay, I'm going to go into this job. I'm going to make some money for like 3 to 5 years. And then I'm going to move to a big city and I'm going to do the writer artist thing. And I got the job and then COVID happened and then I couldn't start the job. And I was like, motherfucker. It's funny how like, I don't know, at least for me, it's like every time I've tried to insert myself into this matrix of society, there's something in me that's like, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're here for.
I mean, divine intervention, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to ask you like about your career and sort of how that has evolved for you. 'Cause I know that I remember when I first found you, I went on your website and you identified yourself as a transformational artist. And I was so inspired by that because that really resonated with me, because I feel that I'm an artist too, without a specific art form that I'm always engaging with. So I would just love to hear your experience kind of on that and sort of what you identify as now.
Yeah. I mean, I still love that term. And something that you were saying just a second ago, I feel like it's so, I've demystified a lot of things about being an artist for myself, because I thought it had to mean that, like, I had a piece of artwork here, or I'm really boiling it down. But, like, recently I, like, basically my house looks like a little recording studio, and it makes my inner child really happy. It's like just all the things that I loved to do when I was a kid. I would take a ton of pictures. I would record little movies. I would write, and I would sing, and I would make things. And pretty much that's what I've made my life about. And I feel like we need far less. We need far less accolades, because we have the inner experience of the artist, which, you know, like, yes, we got to eat. Yes, there is a physical component to this reality. But I think that started to fall more in line as I've just become who I am more naturally, if that makes sense. So, like, yes, I had to create structure around my business and create a way for the energy of money to find me, you know, through good services and things that I provide. But I've also just been really passionately living in my purpose and also slowing way down. It's like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I could have way more money if I was hustling, or I could have whatever. But what really feels good to my soul is to have, like, spaciousness and to not have to wake up to an alarm or to someone demanding something from me. You know, I've sort of thought about how I want to live my life and tried to make my career, you know, the amount of hours I work, the amount of money I really need to be happy. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like sort of the way that the new world is going to be birthed is going to be way more in community. And, you know, right now my life is pretty insular and I'm taking care of everything. But I think at some point I will share responsibility and resources with people, and I'll need far less money of the world, if you will. And I'll have more time to really make my life the way I really want it to feel, you know? And I think a big trap of the Matrix is that it just looks so good. It looks so fucking enticing. And then you get in there and you're like, wait, what? Okay. A, I don't feel like I thought. Everyone here is walking around super self-conscious, not having a good time, putting on airs. I've been around it. I've quote unquote done it, and it doesn't feel soulful. It doesn't feel like soul food, and that's what I want my life to feel like. And so soul food takes time. It's not quick. You can't just hurry up and get it. You know, you can't hurry up and get that lover, or like hurry up and get that job, or, you know, it's just not like that. And so, you know, again, it's taking another step back from the world as it's presented to us and being like, okay, I'm going to create a world within this world that's more attuned to who I am and what I want. And so that for me is what business has been. And actually, I was listening to this amazing woman who helps you sort of discover the soul of your business. And if it's not quote unquote doing what it needs to do, you know, where is that energy coming from? Where is that leak coming from? And I'm learning that stuff about my business only because I've been able to do it in sort of more of a feminine flow way, instead of like a hustle, you know. And sometimes I'm like, oh, look at my peers. They're like kicking ass, and they're, you know, they're like over here doing that. And I don't know. I just have to stay in my lane and do what feels right for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've like, you know, it's funny. I love that you brought up the idea of hustle, because that has been something that I have been, that's been a shame tool for me these days with myself. I've never resonated with the hustle, and I've had times in my life where I have, and I always was so fucking tired and exhausted. Yeah. But it's funny how like the Matrix kind of spins that in a way of, it's capitalism, you know, like you're lazy if you're not hustling, you need to work harder, do more, do it faster, exactly. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like for me too, I wonder if you resonate with this, like, I have been consciously creating art or writing poems that I don't share online, because I think that my need for instant gratification was kind of manifesting in all the likes that I would get. I would write a really quick poem and get 2,000 likes on it, you know? And I love that you brought up the idea of these things take time, you know, and where do we just live in a world that kind of has indoctrinated us again to get things instantly, and everything is made for convenience now, and we order our food and we can order our clothes online, and you don't even have to leave your house to be functional anymore.
What have we created? A monster. Convenience is a monster, and it really robs us of the the innate feelings of fulfillment, which at the end of the day, that's what every person has ever said. It doesn't matter if they've had so many resources, they found themselves overworked and undersoul fed, and they just didn't feel. We live in a feeling planet, and we've been tricked into thinking that we live in just like a physical world. Like, ooh, that person's beautiful. They must be really nice. They're gonna know how to have sex because they're beautiful. You know, it's just not that way. And I love it that the mystery is always like, you know what? You have to like return to this inner state of beauty to feel it and to be it, you know, it's not just about all this fast stuff, you know? And I think, yeah, I don't even know, like we've kind of gone off the rails, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's typically how I like structure my podcast. When I first started doing it, I was like, I'm going to interview people and talk about one thing. And I like too many things to even like pigeonhole a conversation. So, but I like feel that in my own life, I have noticed that with myself as it pertains to like sex. Like I noticed that the way I was going about sex was the way I was going about my life. And like when you approach sex from a place of like, I want to come, I want to orgasm, blah, blah, blah.
Or just like, you know, bitch, I'm going to make him come. Like that sort of like that mentality is so out there. And you know, that, you know, sex has become a meme. And I think most people are having really like, they think they're having hot sex, but they have no idea that they can connect with the divine and that it's more, again, it's like a more about how it feels. And I think a lot of people aren't even willing to go there with themselves to get into a feeling state. So it just becomes this mechanical sort of, you know, things they've seen, you know, sounds they've heard made. And, you know, I live a really creative life. And so sex to me is like the ultimate creative act. And if we're not bringing our whole selves or, you know, our truth forward, then it can become this sort of like, you know, I've demanded orgasms out of myself. And then I was like, whoa, it just was like such a big realization that I want to receive the blessing of, you know, of life and of a state like that, you know, and sex is shadow work. So it can really show you like what you're thinking and how you're thinking about it.
Absolutely. Do you feel, how do I want to word this question? I want to bring up like the idea of self-intimacy, because I feel like that is when you live a very creative life, there has to be a level of intimacy with yourself. And I would love for you to just maybe expand on that a little bit, just off the top. I know that's a very like general, broad concept, but how do you feel like your intimate life is specifically with yourself?
Well, I think all intimacy is self-intimacy, you know, and all of my favorite sort of spiritual teachings and spiritual teachers are like, yes, there are other things outside of yourself, but the way that you interact with them is because of who you are and what state you believe you're in. So it's really just you against you. You know, there's other people that get attracted to our energy because they want to, you know, mirror something to us that we're unable to see. But, you know, that self-intimacy piece is such a way to see where you're at. And for me, I had, kind of makes me emotional, but I realized over the last couple weeks, or especially Pisces season, I have never... Okay, that was intense, spicy season for me. But I was so loving and nurturing to myself. I found this real, I don't know, a real stride with like, okay, I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm not going to wait for a partner to cook this amazing meal. I'm not going to not wear my favorite clothes. I'm not, you know, I just started like saying yes to myself. And it really felt like that's the only reason I had the sort of epiphany about an orgasm that I was demanding out of my body. And I was like, wow. And what other areas have I been grasping and demanding? And actually listened to the Hood Healers. She did like a Scorpio read, and everything she said, I was like, damn, she does know what she's talking about. I was really shook about how she was just reading Scorpios for filth about the way, you know, Scorpios, anyway, we can just go down it. But like, that self-intimacy piece has been something that I've gotten really creative with and devoted myself to, you know, fairly recently.
And do you feel that like, how do I want to word this question? Do you feel that as you have embraced more of your own self, essentially, you have seen your business and your relationships and your external world kind of
exactly. shift? Exactly. Nail on head. Mm-hmm. It's been so amazing to watch the sort of like, if I'm the beacon for this ship or whatever, and I'm like opening up to life, well, then life's opening up to me. And it all sounds so whatever, but that's exactly what I've experienced. You know, it's like the more vulnerable I've got, you know, I've attracted different types of men into my life. And that even just seeing that, like, you know, and at the same time, sort of rejecting the idea of the one. But yeah, and you know, my money has increased. My orgasms are better. You know, I feel like for the first time, I'm like looking in the mirror and I'm like loving myself regardless, you know, and I'm trying not to compare myself to the, you know, Barbie doll, Bratz doll that everyone seems to be turning into, you know, and I think there's going to be some point, you know, if I'm writing my story, then I want the story that I want to write is that at some point having a quote unquote unaugmented body is going to be like, it's going to be so rare that it's just going to be sought out. People are going to be like, oh my God, that person over there, like, they, you know what I mean? Like,
their ass is normal. Exactly, I need it.
You know, like, oh, my ass was perfectly fine. You know, I also want to be the last person on earth that doesn't, maybe I shouldn't say this on the podcast, but doesn't have a locked phone. I don't lock That's my okay. phone. I don't have, I've never had a code. It just feels like there's certain things that I don't know. You have to give up a little piece of like safety to feel afraid, you know?
Absolutely. I just recently had a medicine journey that I sat in, and it was the most insane experience of my life. But I went in there with the intent of, I remember sitting and I was like, okay, my intention in this ceremony is to fucking lose my mind. I was like, I want to go fully into my own madness, into my shadow, and holy fucking shit, I did. But ever since that, the amount of intimacy and love and respect that I have felt for myself is unmatched. It's like when you face those parts of yourself that you don't want to share, that you're afraid to express out of fear of judgment or whatever, when you truly embrace and love those parts, that's when I feel like self-intimacy really, really kicks in.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that. I mean, the plants are here to help us, and I feel like that's part of, you know, the reason that we've lost the download about who we really are, and that we exist on multi dimensions. We're not just, you know, here to, you know, slog through life, get married, you know, have a job, be buried, and maybe that's the end, you know? So.
Yeah. And I feel like too, the way that kind of the world goes about life in general is like, we focus on the doing and the having before we focus on who we're being. And it sounds like from your experience and kind of like what Joe Dispenza teaches and this mentor that I'm working with, it's really the energetic way to do it is to focus on who you're being and anchoring in that vibration, if you will, in this now present moment. And then the doing and the having are a natural byproduct of your
which
essence.
Is just saying it's a natural byproduct of a life where we're more in sync with nature, where we're more coherent. The reason that we have to have these, like, the reason that Joe Dispenza exists is because we're so out of whack that he's helping, you know, people are helping us remember how to sort of not need the wellness industry. It's like, once we anchor it into a certain point and we slow down with life, I do think that it takes sort of this, you know, the ancestors can speak to us more clearly. Our dreams become more than just like, oh, that meant nothing. You know, we start to live in a way where our spirits and souls and bodies are fed naturally. And, you know, the guru is dead. Like, let's move on. Mm. We are the guru, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And like, I feel that the wellness industry too, like, I noticed that as I've stepped away from doing trauma therapy that I was in for like 5 years, it's so limiting.
Exactly.
At a certain level, you know, where I just kept going back and processing my past, and I just kept allowing myself to stay in these loops and patterns because I was addicted to my own victimhood. you know, I was addicted to this story that I kept telling myself that I'm traumatized and I have complex post-traumatic stress disorder and yada, yada, yada. And I don't identify with any of those labels anymore because I've taken myself out of that role. I don't play that character.
Amen.
Anymore.
Preach.
Yeah. 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 The wellness industry can be kind of funky. Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you. I think this was a freaking wonderful conversation and it's just been absolutely lovely talking to you. And I know that my stuff is a little bit unstructured and maybe that will change as I evolve.
You're doing great. You're good at it. But... And I feel like people want to hear real conversations, you know, they don't want like a lot of overly produced, like, at least for me, I really enjoy something that's more like low key and honest. Yeah,
just fluid. Yeah, I'm the same way, and I've never been great at the production stuff inside things anyways. One more question I want to ask you. I ask every guest that I have on this, what is the biggest thing you have unlearned in your life?
That I'm not divine, that I'm not divinity.
Yeah. I love that. Thanks. Amazing. Okay, yes. Thank you so much for being on, Aisha. It was just a dope conversation. Nice. I love speaking with you.
See you in 2 seconds.